on. Sister Dana's father was rushed to the hospital last night via ambulance for possible pneumonia. We want to pray for Brother Kevin Pope. He's going through an awful lot. And so just get your bulletin, pray over those prayer requests this week, and pray for Sister Bobby Jean. Amen? And at this time, we will release the little ones to go with Sister Deanna and Brother Steve. Everybody, go ahead and turn to James chapter 4. Look at the title this morning. We're in for a good one. Can we go back to the title, please, brother? Check this out, man. We're in for another feel-good message here at Victory Life Church. No more spiritual adultery. My goodness gracious. This is where we're at. This is what we want to talk about. This is what the Lord is dealing with us about. Amen? So it's a hard word. I get no pleasure. I get no joy out of delivering it. And let me just go ahead and say this. I'm not up here on my spiritual high horse, okay? I don't think that I've got it all figured out or that I'm the perfect person, okay? I'm just saying this is what we need to work on as Christians, amen? So James 4 is where we're going to start today, James 4. And verse 4, if you remember, we did a study of the whole book of James like 2 years ago. But I wanted to pick out this passage right here and just go over it again because it is so important to what we're dealing with right now as a bunch of Christian folks who love the Lord and we want to please the Lord. Amen? Give them some praise real fast, guys. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Okay. Some strong language coming up, guys, but we're all grown-ups in here except for Big Silas. Big Silas, I put the earmuffs on here and there. Well, that's all right. Okay, James 4 and verse 4. You adulterous people. Man, James isn't holding anything back, is he? James was Jesus' brother. Did you guys know that? You knew that, right? His physical brother, his half-brother. Okay, now, James is really, really cool because he doesn't hold back any punches, man. And if you go and read that letter that he wrote to those churches, man, it's powerful stuff. So I want to encourage you guys as we get into our Bible study this week when you do your devotional, why don't you go ahead and read the book of James. It is super, super awesome, and it's very exciting. So think about it, you know. Okay, you adulterous people. Now, what's he talking about right there? He's not talking about all these Christian folks or wife swapping and doing all that sort of nonsense. He's not talking about that. He's talking about spiritual adultery. Amen? And that is the worst kind of adultery. That's how God sees it. Amen? Okay, I'm not giving... No, never mind. You adulterous people, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. That is some powerful language right there. Amen? But let's look at that verse and notice something. God is very much aware of where our hearts are. Amen? Think about that real fast, okay? God knows what you think about. He certainly knows what you're doing. David said that, man, there ain't no place you can't go where God doesn't know what you're doing. Okay? Our sins, our thoughts, everything is right there before him. Amen? Now, what's amazing as he knows what we think about, but he still loves us. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that a beautiful picture of love? Okay, so anyways, Jeremiah 2 and verse 20. Look right there on your monitor. You don't have to turn to it. For long ago, I broke your yoke and burst your bonds. What's that talking about? Talking about that the children of Israel were delivered from slavery. All right? Now think about that for a second. Do you know that we have been delivered from slavery ourselves? That we don't have to give into that sin anymore? That because of what Jesus Christ did on that cross, we don't have to give into sin, and we are saved people if we have accepted that gift. Amen? So we are blessed, man. We are super, super blessed. Go ahead and look at your neighbor and say, man, I am blessed. Whether you feel like it or not, if you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you are super blessed. Amen? Okay. For long ago, I broke your yoke and burst your bonds. But you said, I will not serve. I don't remember saying, Jesus, I wasn't going to serve you. I don't remember saying that. Are you sure? Like I said, God knows what's going on in our hearts. You know what I mean? But you said, I will not serve. Yes, on every high hill and under every green tree, you bowed down like a... Yeah. Yep. Like a whore. That's some powerful language right there, man. But you see, this is how serious God takes spiritual adultery. Okay, now, what they were doing is God created them. God delivered them. God paid the price for them to be set free. God provided for them. Amen? And when they got to the promised land, and even before they got to the promised land, they were committing spiritual adultery. They were going out and worshiping idols. So that's what it's talking about. Up on the hills, underneath the green trees, they would go and worship these idols and do all kinds of hideous things. God knows exactly what they were doing, and God's calling them out on it. It's like, hey, man, I'm the one that delivered you from Egypt. I'm the one that saved you. You see what's going on here? He knows what's in our hearts, and he longs for us to come back to him. Amen? I don't know where anybody else's heart is. I don't know where any of your hearts are. Okay? We got to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. But I know that it is very easy for me to get off and begin to worship false idols. I'm just being honest with you. There, you know, the cares of the world, politics, all kinds of stuff, man, can weigh on me, and I can focus more on them. I can put them in a place above my God, and he does not like that. You know what I'm saying? Your family can be that. Your children can be that. Your spouse can be that. The lack of those things can be that. Your weight, your finances, your hobbies, all these things can be more important to you than the Most High God. And he does not like that. Amen? That's what he's talking about. And it's very easy for us in this culture to get off and worship idols, follow other things that aren't important to the Most High God, that are actually hurting our relationship. Amen? And there's certainly some thoughts and behaviors and things that we're dealing with that it's not pleasing to God. Amen? So he sees these things and he's like, hey, you know what? Why don't we deal with this stuff today? Why don't you give this stuff to me? And certainly that's a process. We will decide, amen, we'll decide that I'm going to serve God with everything I am. With my whole heart, I'm going to follow God. And as these idols come up, as I'm spending time with the Lord and he shows, hey, you know what? This isn't pleasing to me. I'm going to give it to the Lord, amen? And I might have to do that every day for 10 days, 20 days, a year. You know what I'm saying? But I can give it to the Lord and I can get peace and I can get victory and I can be that person God's called me to be. Amen. All right. God is good. Okay. You adulterous people. Pretty strong language. Do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Powerful stuff right there, man. Like I said, James ain't holding back any punches. And see, here's the deal, man. I've said this before. I know I've said it the last 4 weeks. Is Christians, there should be something different about us. You know what I mean? We should be holy because our God is holy. That doesn't mean that we have to, man, we don't have to wear skirts that touch the ground. We don't, it's man, that sounds horrible. I shouldn't have said that. It's not, God's looking at our heart and he wants us to get our heart right. We don't think that we're better than anybody else. We don't want to get on our high horse, amen, and pretend that we're better than anybody else. We just have accepted a precious, precious gift that was paid for by the blood of the Lamb, amen? And because he did this, he says, you know what, man? I'm holy. I'm set aside. And I set you aside for my glory, for what I need, for what I want. That's what God has done for us, amen? And so he says, set yourself aside, man. Become that living sacrifice. Every day, man, I'm not going to do this anymore. I'm not going to do these things. This is not pleasing to God. Amen. And it's a process, but we want to get committed to that process. Can I get a witness? Okay. Matthew 6 and verse 24. No one can serve two masters. Is that true? Yeah, that's true. If it's in the Bible, man, it's true. Right? We can just settle that right now. This is a church that we believe the Word of God. All right? We don't add to it. We don't take away from it. This is the Word of God, and we can talk about that. But that we have to come to agreement on that this is God's Word. Okay? This is our manual for life. This is how God wants us to live. Okay? So God is trying to keep us out of a lot of pain, a lot of trouble right here, okay, a lot of painful consequences. All right? And he's saying, you know what? I'm just going to lay this out here for you, guys. You can't have two masters. And if we're honest, well, I'm going to be honest because I feel like I should be honest, right, Brother Dwayne? I should be honest, right? Okay. It's very easy for us to have two masters. But we can't serve two masters, you know what I mean? So what are we? What are we? We're a bunch of miserable Christians when we get in that mess, right? And we're going to end up hating one and loving the other. The more we get back into the world as Christians, you know, the more we slip back in there, the more we're going to start thinking, you know what, I don't feel right reading my Bible right now. We don't want to be convicted, so we'll stop doing that. Oh, I don't want to go back to church right now. I feel weird. You know what I mean? You see what I'm talking about? Does that make sense to anybody? Okay, we cannot serve two masters. It's not going to work out. Can I get a witness? That's right, my brother. Choose this day. We got to serve one or the other. And the Most High God is very much tired of his people trying to straddle the fence and serve two masters. Amen? No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. You cannot serve God and mammon. You cannot serve God and material possessions. You have to decide what you're going to follow. You know what I mean? We have to do that. As individuals, each and every one of us, we got to say, you know what? I'm going to serve the Most High God. I'm going all in, right? And Satan's going to try and trip you up. We know this. But you know what? When the thief is caught, he's got to pay back. Amen? Okay, so I am not saying you cannot get a college education. I'm not saying you can't work hard. I'm not saying any of that stuff. Okay, let's be clear about that. The Bible is very clear that we should work, we should be honest, we should work hard, we don't eat work, we don't eat, right? The good Lord wants us to be wise with our money. The good Lord, okay, man, whatever. Okay. What, Brother Rick? Right. God first. More of God and less of me. Amen. Thank you, Brother Rick. There's this thing where some people in some Christian circles, they think, well, you know, my wife, we're going to follow the Bible and she's not going to work outside of the home. That's not really a biblical principle. You know, that's a nice thing if you can do that. But, you know, the Bible, there's a lot of ladies in the Bible that had to work, that did work. There's that virtuous woman, you know. She was a hard-working woman, and she was up before everybody else. I do not know why I'm talking about this. I do not know. Rick gave me an out, and I still went right back into it. I don't know. So, it is what it is, you know. Anyways. But if you can't, never mind, doesn't matter. We'll talk about that another day. Matthew 6:24. No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. Amen? Let's go to the next slide, beloved. That's what I'm talking about, my brother. James 4 and verse 5. Or do you suppose... This is nice right here. Or do you suppose it is to no purpose that the scripture says He yearns jealousy. He yearns jealously over the Spirit that he has made to dwell in us. Man, that is powerful. James is really hitting the nail on the head right here. And when I was reading this, it's very convicting, man, if you read the Bible with an open heart. You know what I mean? You say, God, show me what you want to show me. He will speak to you. He really will. And see, God is jealous. He is a jealous God. You guys understand that? He created us. He saved us. He brought us out of slavery. You know what I mean? And you know what? We are his. He saved our souls. Okay, Exodus 34. Look at that. Exodus 34 and verse 14. For you shall worship no other God. That's cut and dry. There's no wiggle room there. Well, I don't worship any other God. I go to church on Sunday. I put a fiver in the offering when I can. It's not about that, man. It's about, where do my thoughts go? What is the most important thing to me? You know, I mean, fear. Fear can be a powerful idol in our lives. You know what I mean? That can be an idol right there. When God says, I got peace for you. Amen. God wants to be the most important thing in our lives. Amen. And when he is, it'll be a lot easier for us to say, you know what? I'm not going to do this stuff anymore. That's not pleasing to God. Amen. Or do you suppose it is to no purpose that the scripture says he yearns jealously over the Spirit that he has made to dwell in us? For you shall worship no other God, for the Lord, listen to this, for the Lord whose name is jealous is a jealous God. That is super powerful stuff right there. Silas, are we in one accord on this, brother? Man, my man, Silas. Yeah, he's a jealous God. He's not jealous of you. Let's get that out of the way, because that trips a lot of people up, you know? That really has caused a lot of people to stumble. Why would God be jealous of me? He's not jealous of you. He's certainly not jealous of you. You do not complete him. Amen. He completes us. But he created us. His son died for us. Amen. He is jealous for us. We are his. He doesn't want us to be in spiritual adultery anymore. Amen. All right. Thank you, Jesus. And it's very easy to get involved in that spiritual adultery. Amen. But he gives more grace. This is verse 6. Yeah, it's right here on your monitor, beloved. But he gives more grace. Therefore, it says, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Man, that's awesome. All God's people said, that's awesome. Because if we would humble ourselves and not be prideful and think that we're the one dude in the world that can get away with serving two masters, we're the one guy that can go around what God says in the Bible, you're not that guy. That guy doesn't exist. You know what I mean? We have to humble ourselves and realize, I exist to give God glory. Amen? What am I here for, Brother Rick? What's the meaning of life? You're here to give God glory. Amen? We're here to give him honor, to give him glory, and we want to be that obedient servant, right? If you didn't love him, you wouldn't be here. No one's paying you to come here. I mean, I don't. Sister Claudia was doing that for a while. I don't think she's doing that anymore. If you haven't been getting your coming to church checks, we stopped doing that about a month and a half ago. No, I'm playing. You should still get those. Now, if you're coming here, you come here because you love the Lord, right? Amen. Anyways, I shouldn't be so silly. Amen. But he gives more grace. Therefore, it says God opposes the proud. Man, think about that, man. We can actually be on opposing sides of God's word. That is not the place we want to be. You know what I mean? Get ready for some painful consequences when God warns us out of love. Says you choose to sin, you're choosing to hurt yourself. You're choosing to hurt yourself and you're choosing to hurt those around you. He's not trying to spoil our fun. He's trying to straighten us up. You know what I mean? All right. Goodness gracious. But he gives more grace. Therefore, it says God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. And he does. When we humble ourselves, you know this to be true. When we put God in that place of authority where he's supposed to be, man, that unlocks so much grace in our lives. That releases so much of the blessings that he has for us. Amen? Because a lot of times we're simply just not ready for it. You know what I mean? We want to do it our own way and we're just digging a deep hole. Right. Amen. Next slide. James 4 and verse 7. Is everybody getting warm? Are you warm enough yet? Nice and toasty in here, isn't it? James 4 and verse 7. I'm gonna have to be that preacher guy that carries around that handkerchief. Can wipe my sweaty brow. James 4 and verse 7. Submit yourselves therefore to God. All right. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Oh, that's about as practical as you can get, Brother James. That's it right there. Submit to God. Resist the devil. How can I resist the devil? If I want to resist the devil, how can I resist the devil? Submit to the Lord. Follow his authority. Follow what the good book says. Get in the good book. You know, we feed that flesh man an awful lot, and I'm not talking about just food, but we tend to give in to any old thing our flesh wants, and we're starving that spirit man. Can I get a witness? So we got to feed that spirit man. We can't live by bread alone. We can't live by Dairy Queen alone. We can't live by watching Home Alone. I don't know. We got to get into the Word of God. We see in the Gospels where Jesus was tempted by Satan, and Satan can find nothing in him. Jesus Christ was not going to mess around with that stuff. And he gave us this wonderful example to follow. You know what I mean? Jesus could have been like, get out of here, just go, bye-bye, see you later. But he showed us how to do this stuff, man, by getting into the Word of God, standing on the Word of God. When I say that, I mean believing the Word of God is to be true, having it in my heart. And guess what? If we're serious about that, Satan's not going to find anything that our flesh is going to want to give into. Can I get a witness? And he's not going to have any choice, but after a while, just like with Jesus, he's going to flee. Like, this is a waste of time. I ain't getting nowhere. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Okay, that's Bible right there. That's the Word of God. So when God says, resist Satan, and Satan will flee, that's what it means. And that's what will happen. You know what I mean? When you get those crazy, crazy thoughts in your mind, you know that really weird stuff, and you're like, wow, what is that about? Rebuke that mess in the name of Jesus. Don't dwell on it. You know what I mean? Because that's Satan trying to trip you up. He's trying to mess your life up. He's trying to make you get to do something really, really stupid. Can I get a witness? All right. Luke 4 and verse 13. And when the devil had ended every temptation, this is talking about Jesus being tempted by Satan. And when the devil had ended every temptation, he departed from him until an opportune time. So if Satan doesn't see us nibbling at that worm, if he doesn't see us getting into that mess, if he doesn't see our flesh trying to grab a hold of that stuff, he's got no choice but to leave. That's what the Word of God says. But guess what? He'll look for that other opportunity. He'll look for that place where your flesh is weak, and he'll try and exploit that. So we got to be prayed up. We got to be in the Word of God, and we got to be committed that I am going to be what God's called me to be. Amen? All right. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God. This is how we can resist the devil right here. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. I don't feel like drawing near to God because I've really, really been into some idol worship. I've been doing some things that's so against God, and I just feel horrible. Listen, man, repent from that stuff and run back to him. Amen. We've all been there. Amen. We've all fallen short. I'm talking about as Christian folks, we've done things, we've thought about things, we've said things that we know are not God-pleasing. Amen. We repent, we turn from it, we see it the way God sees it, and we run back into his arms. And he's ready there for us. Amen. All right. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Man, I'm going to preach this at someone else's church one day. Yep. Man. Nope. I'm right here with everybody else, right? But see, James, he's trying to make us realize, man, that, you know, God isn't looking for perfection, but God is looking for some people that want to live a God-pleasing life. And not that we're not going to do that perfectly, but that should be our desire, amen? And when we drop the ball, we should realize it, amen? Okay, cleanse your hands, you sinners. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Straddling the fence, trying to serve two masters, double-minded. You know what I mean? God doesn't dig on that stuff. And purify your hearts, you double-minded. Verse 9, be wretched and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Realize what you're doing is not God-pleasing, and that God... Okay, let me say it like this. I'm going to drink some of this delicious spring water. Doesn't matter. God wants us to take this very serious, because he takes it very serious. God does not think our sin's cute. We know that, right? And some of this stuff, we're not trying to be cute. We're not trying to get by with it. We just are bound by it. You know what I mean? So we can get rid of it because I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. And if he wants me to get rid of this stuff, he will make a way. I got to get into the word. I got to believe the word. Amen. And the Holy Spirit will bring things to your attention and say, you know what? You don't want to do that. I do want to do that. No, you don't want to do that. Right? Y'all see what I'm saying? We can get deliverance over this stuff. Okay. All right. Did you know that our sin is like utterly and completely repulsive to the Lord? It is. And see, that's the problem, is some of this stuff we're certainly not proud of. And these are strong areas that we need deliverance of. And then some of these areas we're like, you know, this is just how I am, you know, deal with it. And God's like, no, dude, you deal with it. I'm God. You know what I mean? I saved your soul. I created you. So we need to let the Lord search our hearts and say, you know what? Maybe this ain't pleasing to God. Amen? All right. Be wretched and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Verse 10, humble yourselves. Here we go again. Humble yourselves before the Lord and he will exalt you. That is a very true statement, guys. It's in the Word of God. Let's get to that place where we realize it ain't about me. I don't exist to follow my own little pursuit of happiness to try and make everything perfect for me. But if I put God first, if I seek God with everything that I am, God, if I'm about God's business, God will be about my business. Amen? It's not about me. Can I get a witness? And if you've been Christians for more than 3 days, you should realize that, right? It's not about me. It's not about me, but he's been so good to me. Amen? I should want to please him. And when I do that, he will exalt me. I mean, we can spin our wheels and try and do so much to get us to that place where we think our life needs to be. And God's like, man, if you would just humble yourself and put me first, I would put you in a place that you can't even imagine yet. I can put you in a place where you will be in my will, and that's where you want to be. Amen? All right. Let's go to the next slide. Do you guys have time for one more verse? Y'all just want to meet back here in an hour? Okay. Yes, ma'am. Joshua 24 and verse 15. And if it is evil in your eyes to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you will serve. Now, we're probably not in that place where we think, serving God is stupid and square. We're probably not in that place where we think being a Christian is a waste of time. Or you probably wouldn't be here, right? And if it is evil in your eyes to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you will serve. Whether the gods... lowercase g, whether the gods your fathers served in the region beyond the river or the lowercase g gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. In other words, how did it work out for those other people that serve these other gods? Are they doing good? What about the Amorites? You know, they served all these false gods, and you're living in their house, man. You're shopping out of their vineyard, you know. You're drinking from their wells that they dug. There's only one true God. That's what Joshua is laying out here. You can serve a bunch of false gods if you want to. It's not going to take you anywhere good, all right? But you devote yourself to the Most High God, and it's going to be awesome. Amen? And if it is evil in your eyes to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your father served in the region beyond the river or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Isn't that wonderful? If you have some influence, we need to put that influence in the right direction and stop. I really should write every single thing out. I would get in a lot less trouble if I would write everything out and just read it, but it'd be so much boring, I think. I don't know. Yeah. Listen, if we have influence, we should use that influence for what's right. Amen? To show our children that it's not stupid, it's not boring to be a Christian. Amen? And not set a double standard, not raise up a whole nother generation of double-minded, fence-straddling kids, right? Okay, so let's decide today that we're going all out, that we're going to serve the Most High God with everything that we are. Amen? So everybody, let's go ahead and pray about this if you're serious about it. Thank you, dear Lord, that we give everything to you right now, Lord. We give all our sins to you. Thank you for convicting us, Father God, convicting us of all the places where we have fallen short, Lord. Thank you, Father God, that we have a hunger and a desire to be everything that you've called us to be, Lord. And that we're gonna be that living sacrifice, that each and every day we're going to wake up and say, this day belongs to the Lord. He is everything to me. And I'm going to repent and turn from this sin because I know that it is vile to you. We love you and we praise you. In Jesus' wonderful, precious name we pray. Amen. So, Sister Dana's dad is in the hospital. If you know her, why don't you reach out to her? If you don't, reach out to her, but she probably won't answer your phone call. No, I'm playing. She's a sweetheart. She's a real peach. But, you know, pray. Pray for her. Pray for her daddy, man. That's a tough place to be in, right? Let's pray for Bobby Jean Joyner this week. And we're expecting big things, good things. And can you bring me back some Jack in the Box? No, I'm playing. I do dig some Jack in the Box. I don't know why, but I like it. Anyways, guys, pray for these people, okay? Brother Larry, Dana's husband, you know his brother last week, he was having heart trouble. He was found passed out in the snow, you know, so he was suffering from hypothermia and all kinds of stuff. Just take your bulletin and pray about this stuff because prayer changes things. Amen? Get into your devotional time. Spend some time with the Lord. It is so important, guys. You want to be able to resist the devil and submit to the good Lord's rule? Well, let's get into the Bible and build us up. Amen? Spend some time in prayer. And also, Monday, 12:30, Whataburger, Stewart Street, Men's Bible Study. Come on out. Have a great time. And Wednesday night, we have awesome Bible study. We have something going on for every single age group, but unfortunately at this time we do not have baby care. So if you bring a baby, you need to keep it with you or give it to Sister Claudia or something. I don't know. God bless you guys so much. Yeah, that's some messed up junk, isn't it? That's right, Brother David. We need to pray for all the babies of the world. You know, this abortion thing is, well, it's been messed up for quite a while, ain't it? But it's funny because Satan isn't really trying to hide anything anymore. You see how it works? You know, remember? Yep. Awful brave and awful bold. You know, like back in the day, it was like, well, you know, this is just a blob of tissue and all that. Man, you can't even argue that mess now. I mean, that's a lie from the devil anyways. But, I mean, Satan is just out there in the open saying, we want to kill babies, man. You know? Yeah. That is a very important thing. That is the big thing. You know, Satan's trying to kill off a whole generation of kids. He's been pretty good at it, man, because the church has been sleepy. The church has been complacent. Amen. Amen, my brother.
In other words, Dave, you're supposed to be shutting it all in this world that belongs to you. Everything belongs to God. You just
use it. That's true. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Brother David. Let's pray together about this abortion situation. I'm not trying to be political or anything, but I mean, I think the Word of God is very clear on this abortion issue, you know? This isn't something that we can wiggle around on. I'm not trying to hurt nobody's feelings. I'm not trying to change anybody's mind. If you don't see it this way, get into the Word and let the Lord show you. Yeah, baby. I mean, yeah, Bobby G. Sorry about that.
Y'all, I'm going to tell you, I contemplated an abortion a bit. My daughter, Bray's mom, she wasn't even 6 months old. And I worked, and I was married to a man that did not help, and it was very, 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 very. And I reached out to a prayer line, and I called out. I was in church, but it was just, I just didn't think I could raise another baby by myself. You know, it was just, but praise God. He won. God won. And one thing he told me, because I pray so much for the mothers, I know people that had abortions. All having a very, 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 very hard time, y'all. And you know what God told me? It's not. They are, he's building his army. He's playing a day. Says, Baba Jean, I'm building my army.
Amen.
And he's used, every one of those babies are going to be the front line, y'all. And them babies are not actually, them. We're praying for the babies and we don't want. But he is the ones that are still here that are dealing with the suffering and heartache that they cannot forgive themselves for.
Yeah.
Yep. That have actually went through with it. And there's been a lot of grandparents that have encouraged it.
Yes,
and
ma'am.
They don't. And we really got to go right back to what Jesus said on the cross. They forgive them, Lord. They do not know what they're doing. They don't know what they're doing. They think that they're just not putting their faith and trust in God to supply every single way. And yeah, I did have 3 children right back to back. This year, they'll be 33, 34, and 35. And I'm telling you, but God will make a way.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you, dear Lord. Thank you for just encouraging these young women to do the right thing, Lord. And those that would encourage them to do the wrong thing, Lord, just touch them and show them the right way to go, Lord. And bless these little ones, Lord. And Father God, thank you for revival sweeping this land. Let us truly see what's going on, Lord. Satan's not trying to hide anything anymore, Lord. Just open up our eyes. Let the scales fall off of our eyes, Lord. Let us see what's truly going on. Thank you that we will pray and we will do what you want us to do about this situation. Thank you, Father God, that you have a plan for each and every one of these babies, Lord. We love you and we praise you. And thank you that we're forgivers, Lord. That we don't judge or condemn or pretend or act or even think that we're better than anybody else, Lord. That we have a heart of compassion and love and forgiveness. We love you. We praise you. In Jesus' wonderful, precious name we pray. Amen. Well, God bless you guys. I love y'all.